I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning, and if you would, please be turning to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37. It's a Psalm of David, very simple yet powerful psalm that we're going to use today as we talk about steps to personal change in 2018. I would imagine that most of us in this room today have something in our lives that we would like to change, especially as we approach a new year, because it is a time for reflection. We kind of look back on what happened this last year, and we look forward to the new year. And so, naturally, there's some things that we'd like to change. Maybe it's a habit that we have that we'd like to do away with, or maybe it's a relationship we'd like to work on, or some kind of personal problem. And by the way, I don't see a thing that's wrong with that. I know there's some people that say, well, there's nothing to these resolutions, and I don't know why people even do that. But I think it's a noble thing. You know, God even says that there's a time for everything. There's a season and a time. And the new year is a natural time to think about your life and to take stock of it and maybe to try to make some improvements. I think it's a good and noble thing to better yourself. I think a better way to approach this as we start the new year is to ask yourself maybe this question. What is my strategy to achieve the goals that I'm setting for my life as I think about the new year? How do I intend to follow through with what I'm wanting to do? What's my plan of attack? Maybe that's a better question, because all of us know the frustration of how we'll make a resolution, we'll plan to do something, and we're all inspired at the start of a new year, and before this next month is even out, before January is even finished, we've broken it, we're back to our old ways, our old habits, and we've forgotten all about that resolution. How quickly our resolutions fall by the wayside. And I don't have to hear an amen. I know that's true. That's been true in my life, and that's been true in yours as well. But what if I told you that if we used God's Word, if we relied on the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that we can follow through on our commitments, and we can have a different life, and we can make strides and progress in very important and valuable areas of our lives? I think that's what Psalm 37 speaks to me today. And so if you would, if you found your place there in Scripture, I want to read, again, this is just a short verse, very powerful though, and it may be a misinterpreted verse. You may have heard this before and kind of misheard it. I know when I first heard this verse, I misheard it. But I want you to listen. I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard, Psalm 37 and verse 4. David writes these words. He says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act." Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this chance we have to worship You today and to be in Your house. And I'm thankful for the committed people that made an effort to be here today. Lord, we're here because we love You. We want to draw closer to You. And we want to grow more in our relationship with You and in our service to You. Lord, that's not always easy. Sometimes there are roadblocks, and sometimes they're self-imposed. Sometimes they're things that we don't see coming. We're blindsided by them. But God, we want to commit this year to You. We want it to be a special year individually as individual Christians, but also corporately as a church. We want to see great and mighty things happen by Your power and for Your glory. So help us today. Help us to understand this verse, first of all, what's really being taught here, and help us to follow through. Lord, I pray that for each one of us, this year would be a breakthrough year, because we know that time is short. We know that this is our season, and we know that we need to number our days and to live righteously for You. And so I pray that You would help me today to preach this message. Give us ears to hear and hearts that will obey whatever You're asking us to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know what your resolution is, but probably the number one resolution year after year after year for years has been the resolution to lose weight. To lose weight. I know that that's something on my agenda today. I know I don't usually show it that much, but I am heavier now than probably I've ever been in my life. And I'm kind of like John the Baptist. I'm thinking today, he must increase and I must decrease. But I also know I've got to have a plan to do that. I've got to have a strategy. I can say all I want to that I want to do that, and I can even be motivated or inspired to do that. but I really need to have a plan of attack or a plan of action to accomplish my goals. And the same is true spiritually as well. If I don't have a goal in mind, probably I'm going to fail. Reminds me of a story I heard about a woman who it was the start of a new year, and she had come into her bedroom and then into her bathroom, and she saw her husband standing on the scales. And as he was standing there weighing himself, he was sucking his gut in. I mean, he had his gut sucked in, looking down. Well, immediately, you know what she was thinking in her mind. And guess what? She said what was on her mind, when sometimes we shouldn't do that. She said, "You know what? That's not doing you a bit of good." And he looked up at her, smiled. He said, "It sure is. It's the only way I can see this numbers on the scale." But that man needed a plan. He needed a plan. Now listen, I want to tell you something that may surprise you today. What if I told you that trying harder isn't the way to getting your goal? What if I were to tell you that you need to maybe be smarter? If there's anything in your life that you want to change, you need to be wiser. Maybe wiser is a better way to put it than smarter. If you'd like to be more loving this year, it's attainable. If you'd like to be more forgiving or more patient with people that are EGR, they really get on your nerves, you can do that this year. It's attainable. Would you like a deeper sense of joy or contentment in your life, regardless of the circumstances that you face? It's attainable this year. Would you like to get to the point that you truly could experience the peace and the joy of God day after day? You know what? You can do it, but you need a plan of attack. And you know, this is where bookstores and authors really make a killing this time of year. If you go into any bookstore, anywhere, even on Amazon, you're going to find a ton of self-help books. I mean, there's all kinds of self-help books. You can read about how to overcome fear. You can read about how to quit bad habits. How to improve your self-esteem. And yes, there are books out there on how to lose weight. In fact, there are some crazy books out there. I'm not sure these are even real, but I Googled them and they came up. And this is interesting. Some of them are just weird. There's one called The Tapeworm Diet. I'm not sure I'd recommend that one, but I read about it. Apparently it's been going on for a number of years. And here's one, and I just have to believe in my heart that this one was planted firmly with the tongue in cheek when they wrote this, but it's called The Shopping Mall Food Court Diet. I wouldn't recommend that one either. And then here's my favorite, Feel Better with Fudge. I don't know. Some people seek the new year. Their strategy is to go into a self-help book or self-help mode. And you know, some people treat the Bible like a self-help book. Did you know that? That's how some people view the Word of God. It's a self-help book. And that's why there's preachers out there that preach sermons like Five Steps to Inner Peace or One Step to a Better Marriage. Now, I know there's two in a marriage. There are two people in every marriage. But I have found over the years that one person is right and the other person is the husband. I'm glad some of you guys laughed. I figured you'd be afraid to. But listen, the Bible, listen to me, is not a self-help book, because self-help is what you can do to improve your life. The Bible is not a self-help book. It is a supernatural book, because it is about what God can do to change your life, not what you can do to change your life. And that's what this verse is really talking about. It's not about self-help. It's about supernatural help. But there are some steps that you need to take. And so this morning I'd like to briefly mention three steps that I see in this passage. As we close the books on another year, I want to talk to you about how God would have you to change. And there's three steps that you can take from this passage to see God bring great change in your life. And you can look back at the end of 2018 and see that God has done a great work in you. Here's the first step, if you're taking notes in your outline on your bulletin this morning. It's the relationship step. The relationship step. The relationship step is exactly what it says here in verse 4, where it says, "Take delight in the Lord." And so the relationship step, as you see on your outline, is, "I will delight myself in the Lord." That's step number one. And really, that's, you're like, well, isn't there more to it than that? But that's really what it's all about. Step number one is just simply delighting yourself in the Lord. Because here's the deal, guys. When you delight in Him, your life is really going to change. Your life is going to change when you begin to really delight in Him. You know, I was thinking about sin as I was preparing this message, and I came across something that J.D. Greer wrote, who's partly responsible for inspiring this message. And J.D. Greer is a great pastor. He said something that really is profound to me that helped me to understand this part about delighting in the Lord. Because I know that some of you have probably misconstrued this verse before, like I have. When I first heard Psalm 37:4, I heard, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And I was like a kid in a candy store. I thought, man, I can just name it and claim it, and I'm going to get exactly what I want. But we know enough to know that's not what God's Word is saying, is it? What He's saying first and foremost is to develop, to foster your relationship with God. To develop that first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, here's what J.D. Greer said. I want you to listen to this. This is good. He says, sin is a worship problem. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not before, but sin is a worship problem. You have sin in your life and I have sin in my life. Any sin that we commit is a worship problem because it's self-centeredness. You worship yourself when you sin rather than worshiping God. So whenever I sin, when I sin by omission, by leaving something out that I should have done, or commission, when I commit a sin that is wrong, what I'm doing is I'm failing to properly worship God. Simple, yet profound, just like this verse. And if the way into sin is self-worship, what's the way out of sin? God-worship. Focusing on the Heavenly Father, the one who loves you, the one who saves you, the one who brings you the gospel. Because listen, you're not going to be changed this year by keeping a bunch of rules. I know a lot of churches that preach that way. I may have been guilty of preaching that way sometimes. You're not going to get better by trying harder and keep the rules. You're going to change by loving God more and recognizing how much He loves you. I hope that you realize that today. If not, I hope that you'll listen to what I have to say. God loves you. He loves you so much that you can't even fathom how much that He loves you. He loves you deeply. He loves you so much that it ought to melt your heart. When we take communion in just a minute or two, your heart ought to be melted by the love of God. In fact, we're going to sing a song called Amazing Love to prepare our hearts to take communion. You ought to understand that there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Do you understand that? I mean, no matter what you've done or not done, no matter how dark your past has been, He loves you. And listen, guys, here, there's no pressure on 2018. Even if you come out of the gates and fall flat on your face, He looks at you through the eyes of a loving Heavenly Father. He loves you. Never doubt for a minute His love for you, because that's what the gospel's all about. The gospel is the story of a father rushing to his lost son and embracing him and restoring him. In fact, Jesus said it well, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." In John chapter 15 and verse 9, "Remain in my love." How do we remain in His love? Jesus said that as well in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you." But how do we do that? We don't do that by straining harder and working harder. We do that because we are in love with our Savior. We are in love with our Savior. Real change, here's another quote from Greer, doesn't come from learning what you're supposed to do for God. Real change happens when you learn what God has done for you. Did you get that? It happens because you've been drawn to God. His love has drawn you and captivated you. And just like when you're in a love relationship with someone on this earth, you can't get enough. You want to be in His presence. You want to be with Him. You want to hear from Him. You want to talk to Him. You are in a love relationship with God. Because here's the deal. Next bullet point. You can't change your behavior until God changes your heart. You may think that you can try hard. You may have a strong will. Some of us in here are strong-willed people. You may even be stubborn in your independence and self-reliance. But listen to me. You don't have the power to change. You've got to rely on the power of God. It's His power that changes us. And the secret to becoming a better person, again, is not trying harder. When you lose your temper, you say things you shouldn't say, what do? You eventually reach a point where you humble yourself and you go back. Hopefully most of you do this, and you say, you know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said those things to you. I'll try harder. And maybe you do, but that doesn't work because you already know the truth. You fall into the same sin again and again and again. And so we try harder. We say things like, God, I'm going to read the Bible more this year. And I'm going to pray more. And I'm going to give more. Or I'm going to give up this bad habit. But what happens is you never let the gospel change your heart. You never let the love of God penetrate. The first thing you do is to build your relationship to God. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? Remember Mary and Martha? When Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha's all bent out of shape about it because she's supposed to be getting some work done in the kitchen. And what does Jesus say? Mary has chosen what is better and it won't be taken from her. So first thing I'll say to you this year is to build your relationship. Build your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because listen, the secret to changing your heart is to live in a close relationship with Jesus. That's the secret. That's the secret. If you want to see change in your heart and your life in 2018, you don't have to do 10 new things or 5 new things, just one. The secret to changing your heart is falling in love with Jesus Christ all over again. And then staying close to Jesus, remaining in His love. After all, John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me, or stay close to me, you will do what? You will bear much fruit for the kingdom. That just means He's going to bring a lot of good out of your life. There's going to be some positive change in your life. But He also says, if you don't stay close to me or connected, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. So, man, that's good news to me. This is not self-help. It's supernatural help, which is what we're looking for in this day, in this time. And we just need to stay close to Christ. That's really the most important thing that you need to do. Do you remember Paul writing in the book of Galatians, and he wrote about this thing called the fruit of the Spirit? We probably don't talk about that or preach about that enough. But Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have trouble loving someone today? Is there someone really gets on your nerves? Someone who's really hurt you badly? You don't need to try harder. You don't need to build up the resolve in your own heart. You just need to stay closer to Jesus. And the love of Jesus will flow out of you. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit working within you. And if you're saved, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Paul also said in this letter that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Do you have a joyless life right now? Are you kind of like the kid in Peanuts that walked around with a dark cloud over his head all the time? Is that you today? Well, if you'll stay close to Jesus, you'll have joy because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're worried or you're stressed out, stay close and you'll have the peace of God that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. When you're close to Jesus, you'll experience positive change in your life because a relationship is the first and most important. Most of you are aware that we've got upward basketball and cheerleading starting here just in the next week or two. And we'll start with practices, and then we'll have our first games at the end of the month. And I always look forward to that time. Kaz McCaslin is the president and founder of Upward Sports. He was an athlete himself, but before he started Upward Sports, he was on a staff of a megachurch in Spartanburg, South Carolina, First Baptist Church of Spartanburg. And I was reading a quote from McCaslin earlier this week that kind of fits this. And his pastor was Dr. Alistair Walker. And every year, Walker would challenge his staff. He'd have them gather together at the end of the old year, and he would say, gentlemen, we've had too many casualties last year. He would pound his fist. It would bother him. He'd get angry about it because he was thinking about friends who'd fallen out of ministry or people who had fallen by the wayside. And he would challenge his staff passionately. He'd say, here's what we need to do. We need to stay close and clean. And that's a good word, for you and I today. As we start the new year in 2018, let's stay close and let's stay clean. Let's stay close to Jesus. And listen, McCaslin went on to say this regarding staying close to Jesus. This is good. He said, "My mama used to say, if you miss one day talking with Jesus, He will know it. If you miss 2 days talking to Jesus, you will know it. And if you miss 3 or more days talking to Jesus, everyone's going to know it." So stay close and stay clean. That's point number one, is the relationship step. But then there's a second step I want you to jot down in your notes today, your listening guide. It's the commitment step. The commitment step. And that just simply means I will commit to God's way in advance. Once I know and I'm assured that He loves me and I love Him back because I've made a decision to follow Him, then I need to commit to His way in advance. That just means that I accept that His word is right, His way is true, and I just decide that I will follow what He says to do. And I make my mind up in advance. Because here's the deal. God blesses people who decide in advance to commit to His ways. In fact, let me say it like this, your first bullet point. If you don't commit in advance to what you're going to do, you're setting yourself up to fail. In other words, if you don't make a commitment now, chances are at some point you're going to fail. If you don't put a stake in the ground and make it clear in your mind and your heart that you're going to follow through with this, probably you're not going to do it. Again, I mentioned that I need to shed a few pounds. And I plan to do that this year. But nothing's going to change until I make a commitment. I can have all the good intentions in the world. But if I don't decide what I'm going to eat before I enter a restaurant, guess what I'm going to be eating in there? Cheeseburger and fries and ice cream and chocolate cake. And all of a sudden, my good intentions are blown. Why? Because I haven't committed in advance. And so that's what we need to do. That's why this first part of verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And by the way, let me just mention, this is not a one-time commitment. It's not a one-and-done thing. Most of us in this room probably can remember a time, maybe years ago, where you made a commitment to follow Jesus. You made a conscious decision to repent or turn from your sins and to trust Jesus Christ. Most of us in this room can go back to a moment. We might not remember the day or even the year or what we said, but we remember making a commitment where the Spirit of God convicted us and we put our faith and trust in Christ. And that was a commitment we made. But listen, guys, the Christian life is not about that initial commitment or that initial experience where we are saved. That's just the beginning. And the whole Christian life is about making commitments to Christ. And so listen, here's what I want to say. If you want God to do a fresh work in you in 2018, probably you need to make some, not probably, you do need to make some fresh commitments to Him. Don't be living off commitments you made 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Somebody says, "Man, I made a commitment." Well, that's great. Man, I'm happy for you, but what have you committed to do for Him lately? What are you planning to do this year? What kind of commitments have you made in your Christian life right now? That's what this verse is saying. A commitment that you made 10 years ago is not enough to last you for the rest of your life. And listen, there is no place for complacency in the Spirit of Christ. I hear people sometimes that say, "You know, we did our part. It's time for someone else to step up." Where did that thought really come from? You really mean to tell me that you're willing to settle right now at this time in your life? Before we begin the next 365 days, we need to ask ourselves, how fresh is my commitment to God? And I know I'm preaching against the grain right now. I know that I'm saying things. I didn't get any amens out of that too. And I realize that. Americans don't like to commit. Americans don't like to commit to anything. I mean, first of all, we want the pleasure of marriage without the commitment. We want a cell phone without a contract. And when we have a church event or a church opportunity for ministry, nobody likes to sign up. Nobody likes to commit. People wait until the last minute. They say, "Pastor, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing that day." Well, I'll tell you what, you can know for sure what you're doing that day if you'll sign up and commit to it. But we like to keep our options open. Something better might come along at the last minute. And listen, if that's your attitude and that's your agenda as you roll into 2018, you're not going to advance this year. You're not going to accomplish. Nothing is going to change, not in your spiritual life and not in your personal life. We need to make fresh commitments to God. Here's a third thing I want to say to that, okay? I want you to write this down too. It does not take great people to do great things for God. It takes committed people. It simply takes committed people. God loves to do great things through common, average, ordinary people. You may think, well, I'm a one-talent person. I'm a person who can't do much for the kingdom. I'm older now. I don't have the strength and stamina I used to have. Listen to me. Let me say it again. It doesn't take great people to do great things for God. It simply takes committed people. And I hope that you'll be committed to do great things for God in your personal life and corporately together as a church. Because God has poised us and positioned us to do some great things. I'd like to see more people baptized next year. We didn't see enough people baptized in this baptistry. That grieves my heart. I've mentioned that casually. I'm just coming out and saying it now. We need to pray about that. We need to get active. I need more of you guys to come out and do Can We Talk this spring when we start again. I need you to get equipped so you can share your faith. And man, I would love to see a revival break out next year at Hillcrest Baptist Church. I would love to see us pay down on that debt we have on the Family Life Center. You know, that Family Life Center is such a blessing. I am so blessed. I thank God every day for that facility. And we are using it well. We had a great time last night. We had visitors here last night. I've never seen them before. And we're going to have Upward in there in a little bit. We're going to have hundreds of people coming through every Saturday. A lot of them unchurched. We're using it for the glory of God. But we still owe a debt on that building. $380,000 the last time I checked. And I challenged you last year that I would love to pay that baby off in 3 years. And I think we can still do that. I would love to pay it off by 2020. And so that's why we have these envelopes. That's a commitment. This envelope, nothing magical about it, but it's a commitment for you to follow through. Because when we built that, we said we would be faithful to our pledges. And that God has blessed us with a tremendous facility. But we got to commit to it. And so I hope you'll pray and commit to be a great giver this year. And I hope that you'll pray and commit to just be an active, involved Christian in this church. You saw our life groups that came up here today. You know what? We're going to have other life groups come up here. I want you to get to know the different life groups by seeing them on Sunday mornings. And you know what? You need to get plugged into a life group. You need to be studying the Word of God, and you need to make yourself, you may think, well, I don't need that, but you need to be accountable to somebody. And it's in a life group that you're going to be accountable, because that person is going to be praying for you, and you're going to be praying for them. And you need to get in a life group. And we're trying to improve our life groups, and so you can invest yourself in that way. But also be invested in the missions and the ministry of this church. You know how Hillcrest is. We are going to do missions and ministry this year. And we love doing that. And I hope that you get passionate about that. I hope you'll commit to go somewhere on mission this year or to be involved right here in a local mission. But I want every person out there, if you would just be committed to do something in missions this year. We need to make our commitments in advance. That's the commitment step. And I want to share a little story with you that warms my heart, because again, some of you may not be convinced yet. You may not be convinced about that last point that average people can do great things for God. I heard about a church. You know, I went on the Operation Christmas Child trip this year to Dallas. And so I heard about a church after we got back. And this church is Grace Baptist Church in Wild Peach, Texas. I don't know if you ever heard of that or not. I'd never heard of Wild Peach. But it's about 60 miles south of Houston. So you understand the geographic area where it is. And it's a huge mega church. You know how they have everything's bigger in Texas, right? There's a whole 30 people in that church on a good Sunday. A little Baptist church, and I saw the video, mostly elderly people, 60 miles south of Houston. And about 13 years ago, they decided to get involved with Operation Christmas Child. And man, they started big. Their pastor and his wife and family, they had 3 boxes that they sent for Operation Christmas Child. So a bit of a start. And before you know it, a few years later, they're up to 43. They collected 43 boxes. By the time the mid 2010, 2011, they were setting goals in the mid 500s. Can you imagine that? A church of 30? They'd stayed at it. They stayed committed. And then in 2015, they set a very admirable goal of 2,000 boxes. Now, if you don't remember back to 2015, which I didn't remember this either, there was a hurricane that didn't hit Houston directly, Hurricane Patricia. It hit Mexico, but the remnants of that really caused a lot of problems with rain and flooding right in their area. And then there was a tornado after that in their area. But you know, that didn't stop them. It didn't stop them from continuing to reach their goal. And on their last packing day, they hit the goal. And believe, listen, if you do the math, that's 67 boxes per member, per person in that church. But they reached a goal of 2,108 in 2015. This year, they decided to go even higher. And y'all, you know what happened in Houston this year with Hurricane Harvey. Hurricane Harvey wreaked havoc throughout the Gulf Coast, and it was very hard on these people. In fact, the pastor lost his home. He had to leave his home for a period of time, and three other members. Very, very hard time. And who could blame them if they decide just to take the year off? But you know what they did? They didn't take the year off. They packed and packed and packed, and they brought together resources. And guess how many boxes this little church packed this year? Over 8,000. 8,030 boxes. Yeah, that's, give the Lord a hand for that. This is the pastor's wife on the video. She said, "It wasn't like we have to pack these shoe boxes. It's we get to pack these shoe boxes." So again, I tell you, it does not take great people to do great things. It takes committed people. Third and final step, all right? Third step is the trust step. The trust step. Once we commit our ways in advance, once we delight ourselves in the Lord, the third thing we've got to do is I will trust God to honor His promises. I will simply trust God to honor what He promises to do. Look at verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. What that's telling me is when God leads us to take a step of faith, we need to believe that God is going to keep His promises. God is faithful. His word is true. And what will He do? He'll give you the desire of your heart. And how do I get it? I delight myself in Him, I commit to Him, and I trust in Him. The trust part is what's hard for us sometimes, but it's the trust part that keeps us moving forward. I think about when people trust God, I think about the children of Israel when they got ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. It's found in the book of Joshua. Remember, they'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were on the wrong side of the river, literally. They were outside the Promised Land. And when the time came for Joshua to lead them into the Promised Land, do you remember what happened? God told Joshua for the leaders or the priests to wade into the Jordan River, walk into the Jordan River, and the people would cross on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you, but that wouldn't have made a lick of sense to me. I doubt if it did to Joshua either. Have you ever had a time when God's told you to do something and it makes no sense whatsoever? Well, that's what we're talking about in this story. God said to Joshua, "You tell the leaders to walk into the river. I'll split it open and they'll cross on dry ground." So the leaders walked into the river. And as soon as they took that step, it wasn't before, it didn't happen beforehand, but as soon as they took steps, when they walked in, the water parted. And they crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. That's when God released His power. And you know what? For some of us today, the reason we're not experiencing the power of God is we haven't gotten our feet wet. We know what God's put in our hearts to do. We know what we've committed to do to Him, but we need to take that next step and get our feet wet. We need to trust God and commit our personal lives to Him. We need to trust God and commit our talents to Him. And we need to trust God, and yes, we need to commit our finances to Him. Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show Himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to Him." I want you to know, as I reflect back on my life, thinking not just last year but in years past, so much of the good that has come in my life and happened in my life has happened because I have followed this principle. First and foremost, I just fell in love with God. I just want to be around the work of Jesus. I want to be in on what He was doing for His kingdom's sake. And then I put a stake in the ground. I made a decision that I was going to commit to do something. And there wasn't any backing out of it. I'm stubborn and I'm strong-willed. But more than anything else, I'm in love with God and I'm going to trust Him to direct me. And I did that in my life. Now, I've not always done that. Sometimes I've been afraid and I've not taken advantage of things. Sometimes I've been sinful. I've worshiped myself and not the Lord, and I've not followed through. But every time I follow the principles in Psalm chapter 37, I want you to know God has done great things in my life. And He wants to do great things in your life this year. He wants to do great things in the life of our church. I want to finish this part of the service today by saying, I don't know what's going to happen in the new year. I don't know what's going to happen next weekend, much less in this next year. But I do know this. I know that whatever God leads you and your family to do, and us to do as a church family, we don't have to be afraid of committing to God, because He loves us. And if we love Him, we ought to be willing to make commitments, and we ought to be willing to trust Him, and we ought to be able to not just put our foot in the water, but we ought to be willing to dive into the pool and get wet, because God is going to do something awesome through our church. It may not be easy. We may be like that church down in South Texas, but if we'll stay committed, God will do great things through us. I want you to bow your heads now and close your eyes. I'm very excited about what God is wanting to do in hearts and lives, not only for me personally, not only as a church, but for each of you. And so right now, I just want you to begin to think about this passage again. Very simple. It's a passage you can memorize real easily. Maybe write it down on somewhere where you do your quiet time, your daily study. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to Him. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will act. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, I don't know what God is asking you to do, but we're going to have a time of invitation before we take communion. The communion is for us to reflect and remember and renew ourselves to Him, but right now is the time to put that stake in the ground. Maybe there's someone here today and you need to be saved. There's never been a time where you've made that first step, the first step of faith. And you need to repent and trust Christ as your Savior today. You can do that during this invitation. Maybe there's someone who's never made that public. You've been saved, but you've never made a public profession. You need to put a stake in the ground. Maybe there's someone here today that's been saved. You need to be baptized. You need to follow through with that and put a stake in the ground. Or maybe there's someone that just needs to make steps to get plugged into this church. You need to become a member here. Or you need to rededicate your life in some way. Put a stake in the ground. Make that commitment today on the last day of 2017. But I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to have our invitation. And when we finish this invitation, then we'll take communion. So I also want you to be preparing your hearts for communion. This song is going to help you do that. And I just want to say, with heads bowed and eyes closed, that the Lord's Supper is for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ here at this church. And if you've been born again and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, please use this time to remember what He's done for you. Let His love draw you. And then we reflect on our lives and where we are. It's a good time right now to confess our sins privately and quietly before Him. And then we renew ourselves to Him. Renew that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray, and then we'll have our invitation. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. And I thank You for what You led David to write in Psalm chapter 37. And Lord, when we look at it this way, we realize that for You to give us the desires of our heart, we need to fall in love with You and be drawn to You by Your love for us, by the gospel, for God so loved the world. Then we need to commit ourselves to You, trusting You fully, not being afraid to commit. And I pray, Lord, that each person in this room would do that today. Help us during this invitation, Lord, as we draw near to You. And whatever's on our hearts or minds that we need to do, I pray that we would do that for Your glory and because of Your love for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.